Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this Sunday night, the Promontory in Hyde Park will be transformed into a palace of funk. Why is that? Because they welcome the legendary saxophonist Maceo Parker to the stage. Maceo Parker is truly a legend. The horn player began his amazing career as a sideman for James Brown, throwing his work with George Clinton in Parliament, plus Prince. There's no better resume in funk soul. Parker has been a solo artist for decades now, continuing to produce new music and keeping the funk alive. Like I said, he's going to be at the Promontory on 53rd Street in Hyde Park this Sunday. But first, he joins us right now on WGN Radio. Maceo Parker, thanks so much for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure, and thank you for calling.
Oh, this is great. So talk about, I mean, for you, you come through Chicago a lot. Talk about your memories of playing in Chicago with James Brown, with Parliament Funkadelic, all the bands, and including your solo work. Chicago's been a big place for you.
Yeah, in fact, Chicago being one of the big cities, you know, I'm from a little small city here in Carolina. Anytime you get a chance to go to, you know, from a small city to anywhere that's a little bit larger, it becomes like a big deal. Then there's a lot of movies, you know, depicting Chicago, yeah. and even the music, Chicago, a hustling town. So I just feel lucky. You know, anytime you get a chance to perform there.
Well, okay. How familiar are you with the musicians that came out of Chicago? From everyone like the Impressions and Curtis Mayfield to the jazz greats that have played here, and the blues, of course, a Buddy Guy. How much are you familiar with the movements and the musicians that have come from here?
I haven't worked with. I kind of know about everything. I was born in a family, you know, where we were like really, really into music. And I had a brother play trombone, and then followed by me to play saxophone, and a brother behind me, a year behind me, to play drums. Music was just part of life, and you know, never thinking I get to a point where I get to travel and especially when James Brown start calling my name, you know, come on, Maceo, blow your horn. That's what sort of introduced, you know, me to the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if James Brown, golly, James Brown was like this guy. if James Brown liked him, you know, then I do too. And I've met so many people because of the fact that, you know, that's the same guy that James Brown was, calling. And I just feel like, you know, lucky that it worked out that way.
The story's been told that, you know, take us back to the mid-60s when your brother Melvin, the drummer, that James Brown was interested in Melvin, and it was a package deal. He had to take you, Maceo Parker. He had it. That's kind of the story that's told on the internet. Is that accurate?
Yeah. You see, I went to A&T in Greensboro. I went to college first because I'm a year older than Melvin, you know, and got into like a little gig band. And then the second year, here comes Melvin. So I'm already established in a gig band while we're in school, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You know, we just started early, trying to do da 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 da, moving side to side from left to right. Da 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 da. And then so many years of da 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 da, you know, pretty soon started sounding like something. And he's trying this beat and that beat and this beat. So by the time we, you know, got to college age and all that, we pretty much into playing stuff that people could sort of recognize.
Yeah.
But anyway, James is in the club and he's, you know, trying to be incognito, you know, in there alone and all that. Golly, I like talking to the club owner. Ooh, I like this little group. Ooh, I especially love that drummer. Good Lord, tell him I'm here. I want to meet him. And then later on, hi, I'm James Brown. I like the way you play. I know you're a student. I'm not saying, you know, get out of school and come with me, but I am saying if there's ever a time when you maybe not want to be in school or you already graduated or whatever, and you want to have a job with me, put his hand out for a handshake, and, you know, you got it. And, oh, thank you, Mr. Brown, boom, after we decided to get out of school. I think it's about a whole another year later. Come on, man, we're kind of wasting time now. We, you know, chasing little girls and not going to class and all that stuff. And, I say, come on, let's get out until we can, you know, get the studio scene and get back in the books and all that. Oh, okay. So what are we going to do? He almost, like, he forgot about James. I said, well, let's see if we can get a job with James Brown.
Yeah, right.
Right. How are we gonna find him? Well, he got to be coming back to Greensboro somewhere. You know, sometimes we just keep our nose to the grind, you know, to the newspaper and stuff to the ground when he's coming. Oh, he's playing, you know, blah, so we figure out when he's playing. Now, how are we going to find him? Well, I said, okay, we get in the car, we're right around the perimeter of the Coliseum, and once we see a limousine or a bus, got to be James Brown, too. And sure enough, you know, pretty soon, here comes the limousine, and they open the thing for them, and we're so close behind him, and boom, we're right behind him. Now everybody wondered, who was that? Hi, Mr. Brown, it's me. I'm Melvin Parker. I'm not a student anymore, and I like to have that job. Like, he said, oh, yeah, right, I remember. A couple of years have passed since they first met, something like that. And he called all the guys over, blah, where did you bring your clothes? Where are we going next? Blah, 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 you know, this kind of thing, being all excited and all that. And then he about to turn around and go, I kind of cleared my throat. And then Melvin said, oh, yeah, Mr. Brown, this is my brother. He's a saxophone player, and he needs a job, too. Okay? So the first thing James Brown ever says to me is, at the time I was playing tennis saxophone. Tennis saxophone was my major then. So he said, do you play baritone sax? Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh. And so now I'm thinking, as I hear this, I'm thinking, I cannot answer no. And, you know, I'm only stuck with yay or nay, you know. But I'm smiling because I'm thinking this as I hear this question. And I answer like this, yes, sir. A little smile on my face. Then he says, do you own a baritone sax? I hate to lie, but I still got to go with, you know, with the yes, sir thing. I go, yes, sir. Then he says, I tell you what. If you can get a baritone sax, then you can have a job, too. And it just tickled me, man, that I had enough whatever to tell him, yeah, anyway, and like that. And that's the way the whole thing started.
That's a great story. Maceo Parker, my guest, he's going to be at the Promontory in Hyde Park. You had different stints with James Brown. You know, you ended up playing with him, as we just talked about in this iteration, but you also were part of the JBs later in the 70s, also with Maceo and the Max a little bit later. You know, you've done a lot with James Brown in different genres of his music. Talk about the idea of what you learned from James Brown and how you evolved as a musician.
Well, first of all, I couldn't believe that, you know, from seeing him so many times and listening to him so many times on you know, radio and stuff and the records and, you know, live at the Apollo and all that I would end up working with him. But then once it happened, and I said, golly, this is almost like the best seat in the house, because I'm only, what, 2 feet, 3 feet maybe from D. James Brown and, you know, and all that. And then I start questioning myself as, why would he play a tune more than once? Why, you know, maybe do two slow songs tonight? And so it was almost like being in the school or the college,
right.
You know, higher, you're learning of James Brown. And then I thought, golly, how lucky can that be that you're right here with him and then checking him out, you know, falling on the floor, all the footwork stuff and all this stuff, and then, you know, seeing the audience going really, really crazy and all that. I mean, it was, like, unbelievable, and I felt really, really, or we all did, you know, felt really, really lucky, you know, that we were that close or being students in the school or college of James Brown. We felt really, really, really lucky.
Maceo Parker's my guest tonight. He's playing at the Promontory in Hyde Park on Sunday. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Maceo Parker on the download here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest on the line, legendary saxophone player Maceo Parker. He's going to be at the Promontory in Hyde Park this Sunday night. It's amazing as we were just talking about how you met James Brown, what you learned from James Brown. It's interesting. James Brown's career, he had different iterations of his career, and some of the most memorable music, the music that you worked with him on and Fred Wesley worked on, was a little bit more social issue oriented or political than it was at the early days. When you're in his band and you're a saxophone player alongside him, how much input do you have when it comes to taking on social or political issues like that?
Not that much. He's already, you know, gotten that, you know, what he wants to sing about. He already, you know, has come up with that. All it is he has gotten to a point where he knows what your style of playing is, and he sort of weighs it, you know, in his mind as he goes. And, you know, I said, you know, it'd be kind of nice. I said, oh, no, maybe I'll do trombone solo here. I mean, it goes on. He sort of creates as he goes.
Yeah.
And it'd probably be, you know, inspired by whatever he's done or is doing at the moment, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. That's,
and if you listen to a lot of that stuff, you can almost tell it. Oh, wait a minute, starting over. Sometimes, you know, they keep that right on the recording. You know, starting over. Baby, blah, 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 give it up, turn it loose, and start, and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, and all, it keeps right on the ground of the track, because a lot of times he just didn't like to, you know, he liked the groove, but he might, you know, some of you didn't like, but he keep it anyway.
I mean, you and Fred Wesley, and I mean, Fred was the band leader, but in your case with Maceo and the Max, I mean, you are known as one of the legendary sidemen in music history. People who might be listening right now maybe don't understand a sideman, because you don't necessarily have that in popular music today. Talk about the idea of what makes a great sideman.
Well, first of all, you got to be working with someone who's great, first of all. It would have been the same if I were working with, let's say, the Jackson 5 or Michael Jackson or something like that. It would be the same thing. And again, you feel really, really lucky that your name goes, you know, throughout the world, because it took me a while to, you know, sort of catch up with that whole idea, you know, that music, that James Brown's recorded music or music period goes all over the world. And I didn't really, they didn't come, you know, sort of hit me face to face until I started traveling, find out, you know, a lot of people, you know, name the kids Maceo, and sometimes, you know, got Wall Maceo, sometimes they got some Pitts Maceo.
It's interesting because you've played with James Brown, you played with George Clinton, you've played with Prince. You played with so. I mean, you talk about the artists that you've collaborated just in your solo career. It's a monster list. But the one thing that all unites is that it isn't that you necessarily played with Prince or you played with Jane's Addiction or Ani DeFranco or, you know, any of the bands in between. They played with Maceo Parker. They brought you in. Yeah. I mean, you do transcend the idea of just being a studio musician or somebody who comes in to just play a horn part. I mean, you are legendary when it comes to artists wanting to reach out to collaborate with. What's that feel like?
But it feels great, but it was all sanctioned by James Brown. In other words, James Brown sort of held me up, you know what I'm saying, on a pedestal. So you got to listen to this guy, because, like I said, I took my baritone. I'm hired as baritone player, so I went and got a baritone, but I brought my tenor along with me, since that's really what I play. And he had two or three other tenor players at the time, but he only liked one to do that solo stuff. And then something happened with that guy who had to be away. And I remember, you know, James being all down. Oh, my goodness, I got to find somebody. And that's when I stepped up and said, you know what, Mr. Brown, that's really what I do. Yeah. You know, and then I started. And then they said, you know what, I really like the way you play. Da-da-da and da-da-da and blah-blah and blah-blah. When the guy comes back, tell him, you know, you're going to play solo on this one and that one and this one and this and that. He can play solo on the rest. And then so now we're both doing double duty, where if I'm doing the tenor, he's playing baritone and like that. So at that moment or during that time or during that period, James, anytime he got an idea, he would rush to the nearest radio station to record it. And then once he started recording stuff, he never wanted to stop. If he thought the groove was right, even if he didn't like the words that he was singing, he wouldn't stop. And then as we're going on and going on and going on, and it's, oh, my goodness, I didn't say which saxophone player I wanted to call to use for this particular tune. And, you know, we're looking at each other trying to give signals to him, like, you know, it's going to be me, it's going to be him, da, da, da. They said, oh, blow, won't you blow, da, da, da. Come on, I want you to blow Maceo.
Maceo! Come on, brother. Come on and show them where it's at now. Put the groove on them. Make them stay while I do the funky, funky, funky Broadway. Make them stay.
And that started like that.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
amazing.
From just him.
Yeah.
Right, it's crazy.
And you hear it all over the music. You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, you hear it in so much of what you guys did, where he calls out what he wants. And a lot of the times what he wants is Maceo.
It's like he's sanctioning me. He's sort of putting me out there. Another thing I learned, you know, through my travels is all around the world, you know, like doing the family reunions and all this stuff. Somebody's in almost all families. Somebody's going to be doing the James Brown. And, you know, oh, yeah, I can do it. You know, I can do just like him and imitate James Brown. And then he has another person in the same family, you know, going to roll up a newspaper or something. They're going to be Maceo.
Yeah.
And all over the world, it's crazy, man, but that's the way it was.
You know, for you, and being a solo artist now, you know, traveling on your own with a band behind you, I mean, do you feel the same responsibility that James Brown had, where he sanctioned somebody, he brought somebody up, he called somebody out? I mean, are you the same kind of musician that wants to give other horn players a shot?
Oh yeah. You know, you gotta go live with the moment. Anytime we can play and perform, it's all of us. I really enjoy the times when I can, you know, say, come on, you know, it's not all about me. It's, you know, even though I'm in front, I like to feature, you know, everybody in the group. It's a group thing. It's a group effort. And so that's what I do. But I reflect back on, you know, all the periods that you're talking about, you know, with this group and all that. And I've met so many people of name, you know, just from being the Maceo from James Brown. It's crazy. Now, I don't have any money, but I do have fame.
You don't want to hear that, man. That's the last thing any of your fans want to hear. You should be swimming in a gold swimming pool at this point for all of the great music that you were involved in. Maceo Parker is going to be at the Promontory in Hyde Park this Sunday night. The Promontory on 53rd Street in Hyde Park. Maceo Parker, a legendary saxophone player, played with James Brown, George Clinton, Prince, everyone down the line, and now, of course, a great solo career. Maceo Parker, I can't thank you enough for talking with us tonight on The Download. Thank you.
Yes, it's a pleasure, man. And, you know, hey, we're going to have a funky good time. I'll always say, on behalf of all of us, we love you.